This is Bad Meow. You're listening to Notes and Bolts.
I remember. I remember. I remember. Interview series. Today I am here with Alan from Bad Bad Meow. How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Pretty good. So who's missing?
Pretty much everybody. So far who's anchored in the band these days is Ashley, who plays drums, Greg, who plays guitar, Stan, who plays bass, and sometimes Natalie Grace, who plays keyboard and piano.
And then she also guested on the series a couple of weeks ago. So what is the history of Bad Bad Meow? Kind of take us back to the beginning, because this is largely your project. Sure. That sort of spun into a full band, correct?
Correct. Yeah, so basically I moved here about 5 years ago from North Carolina. And when I was in North Carolina, I was part of a more electric garage punk band called Perfo. And when I came here, I tried to recreate that here with, like, you know, new band members, that kind of thing. I tried to be electric still, but it didn't really feel right. So I kind of left that part in North Carolina, and I still actually play with those guys once in a while. I knew I had to do something different. So being part of doing something different, I kind of got rid of all the electric guitars and tried to do it full acoustic. So, I had other guitar players here and there, but they had to play acoustic. I think the only way I kind of cheated with that was I had a slide guitarist for a little while who kind of accented stuff, you know, here and there. And you could probably hear that on the earlier records. And, through the ages, I think the original Bad Bad Mia was me, Sarah Saito, who played drums, Max Brink, who does Chicago piano repairs, he played bass, and the slide guitarist, Chris, who was actually the first guy I met here in Chicago, who played with me for a while when I was trying to do the electric thing. And then I had Will Holsom playing piano, and Natalie here and there playing piano as well. We all used to basically hang out together at a gallery, you know, during open mics and stuff. We all kind of met each other there. And, we all were big fans of each other's music. So, of course, I would love for them to play with me. And they did. So that's pretty much the history now. And, you know, band members dropped off here and there for personal reasons. But, you know, we're still cool. Like, I'm still actually going to do a reunion show with the original members of Bad Bad Meow just for fun. You know, and I'm still, like, you know, we're not, like, bitter or angry or, you know, enemies or anything like that. But, you know, you understand, like, with bands, especially with original bands, it's harder to stick together, you know, like when life happens, basically, you know, and life happens and, you know, you just kind of have to go with that sometimes instead of the band. So I understand that. But, you know, this is my life. So that's kind of why I still keep doing it.
Given that it is kind of your life project and the seed of it was created with you, mm-hmm. Is that really why that rotating cast is there? Like you said, life happens.
Exactly.
So it's something where instead of waiting for other people and putting the project on hold, it just maybe might make more sense to just kind of keep it chugging. And if someone jumps on, fine. If someone doesn't, fine.
Exactly. And kind of the thing about that, too, is, you know, when you have an original band, like, you don't really... I mean, you pick those guys, but you don't have time. Like, you just kind of grow together. And I feel now that, you know, I've kind of, I have, like, an arsenal of songs and stuff that's already recorded. I can be a little bit more pickier with the members that can be in the band. Because it's not like just, hey, let's just start a band. You know, it was like, you know, I've got this band, you know, let's, you know, find people that are best fit to play with this band. And that's kind of what I've done with this incarnation of Bad Bad Meow. Like, I really feel like the people that are playing in this band now are really, really, like, good technical musicians, which is, you know, surprising to me why they want to play with me, because I'm not really a technical, you know, musician by any means. But, you know, I do know how to write a song. So I guess that's kind of where my gift lays. You know, I don't know how to solo or anything like that. So
sound-wise, Bad Bad Meow is very... There's a very cinematic tone to it, but it's also this almost in a spaghetti western kind of way. There's this very Americana-ish element to it. Does that maybe have to do with sort of your home roots?
I think it does. So back to my old band in North Carolina, we lived in a really, really small town in Salisbury, North Carolina. Very small, you know, there wasn't really much to do. But, you know, I kind of ran into, like, people that were really cool and, you know, really wanted to start an art scene. And, you know, when you're kind of one of the only bands in that town, you kind of learn how to, I guess, not play the same show all the time and try to write songs that, you know, don't sound like the other songs that you've written. You know, just to kind of keep it interesting to the same crowd that you're playing to. So that's kind of the mentality that I had when I started in North Carolina, is just, I would write songs, and then, like, some songs people liked and some songs people didn't like. And I just kind of based my, you know, songwriting on what other people thought about the songs. I know that's kind of the other way most people do. They're like, I just write for myself. I don't care about what anybody says. You know, this is my music. But I'm kind of the opposite. It's kind of shaped by what other people think or like, or, you know, the songs that they're into that time, you know, and that, you know, whether I like it or not affects my songwriting. So
why do you take that approach of actively tailoring your stuff to someone else's preference?
Because I kind of get off on the whole playing for people. So, you know, I want, you know, the whole thing is, when you're in a band these days, a lot of people don't really listen to your record as much as, like, we'll go see you play a show, per se. So, you know, I kind of cater to those people that do come out and see a show, and that affects my songwriting. You just don't want to write music that people aren't going to like, so that's kind of why I have that approach. I mean, it's still my music, and it's still coming from me, but I try to create something that, you know, like, an example would be, like, I could write a whole album of, like, really slow ballady songs that are, you know, constitute, like, you know, sad bastard music, but I don't, because, you know, I like it when people are dancing around or people are kind of, you know, into the music, you know, having fun with the music, rather than just being, you know, come to my show and I'm going to depress the hell out of you kind of mentality. So, I mean, that's kind of an extreme example, but that's kind of just... That's loosely based on what, you know, I try to do for, you know, people that come see the show.
Seconds and I flew through the skies with 39 lunatics. all I wanna let from the swell bring it down. I can't caress your tight soul. I swear to you from head to toe, your mother's well, but no one knows deep inside. If I
song was Nobody's Home by Us, Bad Bad Meow, and the other one is a unreleased song by Bleach Party called Secret Ships. And Bart, who's in Bleach Party, is actually doing a little EP for us, or he's recording us as we speak, so hopefully by the time this comes out, you know, that EP will be out as well.
What is the place of Bad Bad Meow in the Chicago music community?
Well, the place and what it's trying to do, I guess, might be two different things, because the place might be perceived by other people as far as where we lie. But what we're trying to be in the scene is what I'm trying to do personally is trying to form a cohesiveness that I didn't experience in North Carolina. In North Carolina, it was very every band for themselves, you know. We're trying to make it, you know, don't care about you guys, you know, it's all about us, this kind of thing. But here, you know, I try to basically, you know, as much as possible support as many bands that, you know, I actually do like and listen to. And, you know, like as people, it's not just the music itself, you know, like you can have a band that's really great, but if they're, you know, shitty human beings, then I don't want to hang out with them, you know, I don't want to, you know, go get a beer with them or anything like that. So the whole thing about that is, you know, I try to help, you know, whatever little power, you know, I have, try to help any kind of band that I can, you know, as far as, you know, shows go, and try to basically, you know, immerse myself into like every kind of, you know, all these little DIY spaces that are going on, and as well as venues. And, you know, the thing too is, you know, I actually enjoy playing with these bands. I like hanging out with these bands, and hopefully they, you know, they feel the same way about me. But I actually enjoy their music, and hopefully they're able to see that. And, you know, I see a lot of other bands too at other shows, which makes me very happy. Like, I can go to a show by myself and see, you know, band members from this band or that band at that show, and, you know, they're not there because they have to be. They're not playing a show. They're just there just to see that band play. And sure, they've seen them a couple times, but they still like that band. They still support that band. So I think that's very important in the scene. And, like, you know, I try to be a part of that as much as possible. And, you know, you see some bands do it more than others, but definitely, you know, the more, I guess, willing to help in the music community, I think the better that, you know, you're well received as a, you know, just as a person. You know, people are more willing to, you know, help you out, or, you know, give you, you know, if something is one way, like, as an example would be like this playlist, you know, I actually asked some of these bands to, you know, just give me just whatever songs, and they gave me like stuff that isn't on an album yet, which I, you know, I feel greatly honored. And you know, I'm very happy that bands like A, trust me with their music, and B, you know, they feel okay with me having it and listening to it, and I really appreciate it. It's like gold to me, you know. I love the fact that these bands, you know, see me as an equal, and I definitely see them as equal, if not more. You know, I really like these bands, I really like them as people. And, you know, the whole thing about the community thing is, it's the only negative thing I have to say about the community is that these bands aren't more famous than they should be. That's the only thing. These bands should have 100, 200 people at every show all the time, you know, when they play, because that's how good I feel these bands are. They should never have a draw of like 20 people, 30 people. Sometimes they do, but, you know, that's the whole support system, and that's where that kicks in. You know, because when you have like 10 or 15 bands at your show, there's your audience right there. And like, who cares about anybody else? You know, like, you have people that greatly enjoy your music and are there for you. They're not playing the show. They're not getting anything out of it except for just to see you play and support you musically. And that right there is very huge in Chicago scene. And I've talked to other people and they say it wasn't always like that. It was always kind of, you know, a lot of the bigger bands at that time were kind of out for themselves, or just kind of were doing their own thing, which is not bad, but, you know, it could be better. Like, you could start an actual community and like actually know other bands and treat them. It's kind of you see it working a lot in the community, in the comedy world in Chicago. Like, you see a lot of comedians support each other. And I've always been envious of that, because they, you know, they'll laugh at each other's joke, even if it's not funny. They support them. They got notes for them. And it's very, like, tight-knit community. Even if you're a crappy comedian, you're still part of that community, and they welcome you with open arms. And that I've always been kind of jealous of with the music community. But I kind of see it shaping that way. You know, musicians have egos, for sure. But, you know, as long as they're still willing to help out, you know, other bands and kind of look out for other bands and support other bands, they don't even have to do anything, just like their music. And that right there is enough for me, you know, as far as supporting the community.
That I'm clever. But hey, man, whatever. What you like to float around with?
What?
Song by us, Baba Meow, called Al Jolson, Jack Johnson, and the other song was Change Me by Sheep Numbers. I believe that EP is out, but this is, I guess, a different version of that song, a little bit more, I guess, a polished version of it. Those guys actually sent me the whole album, and that was one of the songs I picked because I just kind of liked the funness of it, so I said, bring it to the world.
So how does Bad Bad Meow kind of want to grow and progress?
Well, we definitely want, you know, we want to grow with the other musicians. Like, we don't want to, like, surpass anybody. I kind of personally, I like being underground. I like this kind of, you know, these DIY spaces. And, you know, I've played shows, you know, at like much bigger venues and stuff, but they're, you know, they're fun, but I prefer like a tight, crammed, you know, house with, you know, a bunch of, you know, sweaty kids having fun over that any day. And I kind of like, you know, we still just want to be, you know, chugging along, you know, if more people like us, that's great. Obviously, we don't want to go the other way where we just kind of disappear into nowhere. But, you know, just kind of keep the momentum going as far as that goes, and try to release as much music as we can, you know, because I do have a lot of songs, and I've been very fortunate as far as like people just recording us, just because they do like the music and do believe in the music, and that right there is enough to just keep the band going. But you know, again, it all goes down to community. Like, as long as, you know, everybody's cool and, you know, the music is there and I'm not sick of playing those songs, then, you know, I'll keep doing it. But, you know, you never know as far as what's going to happen in 5 years or next year even. You know, you could be, like, you know, thrown into nothingness and nobody comes sees your show and they're just tired of your music and, you know, the end. But, you know, the best you can do is just try to do what you're doing and keep playing music, and that's about it.
You released a 3-song EP a few months back. What do you kind of see being the jump in progression from even that trio of songs to what you may be working on now?
Well, those 3 songs, actually, like, we were in a transition period before we had Ashley as a drummer. We had we were fortunate to have Ivan from Pinto and the Bean, who's an old friend of ours, to kind of fill in for drums for a couple shows for us. And he kind of mentioned that him and Paul have like a little studio in their home, and they were down to record 3 songs for us. So we kind of made a little fun project out of it. So I picked like the weirdest songs that I could possibly think of to record, and just kind of fit that, you know, fit, I guess, kind of a vibe, because Ivan is very, he's very good at percussion as well. He's very good at everything, but he's very good at percussion and drums, and, you know, he plays everything. He writes music, and, you know, and same with Paul. Like, they're both very talented musicians in their own right. So I jumped on that instantly. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And, you know, we recorded it. I think we did it in about maybe a couple days. And then I had Natalie come in and add the keys on it, you know, very last, you know, which I thought really made the songs, her parts. And it was just a very fun project with a bunch of different musicians, because we all knew each other from back in the day. And it was fun to just kind of get together and do something, you know, because, you know, they don't really play out that much. Like, they're working on stuff, and Natalie's working on stuff, and she plays too, so it was nice to just kind of bring everybody into a room and do this little three song EP. But I guess to answer your question, what's different now is, I guess the songs now, I guess, are a little bit more, I guess, cohesive with each other. Like, they would, I guess, fit better on an album, or, you know, on a collection, instead of those 3 songs, which are very different from each other. That we recorded, and were pretty strange. And the other big difference was that was kind of those 3 songs were like the first 3 songs that mixed myself. So that was kind of, you know, I was able to just basically sit down every day for a couple hours and just mix it, not have to worry about deadlines or worry about pissing off, you know, whoever was recording it, and just be able to really take my time with it and just kind of, you know, because what else was I doing? So I was able to basically make it sound the way I thought it should sound, instead of just, you know, leaving it in somebody else's hands. Although, granted, I've been very lucky with that in the past, too, as far as other people mixing and recording my stuff. You know, the people that have done it for us in the past and in the future, you know, just, they're all very talented, and they're all very, like, you can tell they do it because they love music. And when you record with people like that versus like somebody who's just like, all right, I don't care what you sound like, you're paying me, you know, $300 an hour to record this, and I'd rather be eating a you know, grilled cheese sandwich than, you know, recording right now. It's a big difference because you feel like you're performing, you know, like I said earlier, like I do better when I'm performing for somebody who gives a damn, you know, like that actually cares about what I'm doing versus just somebody behind a glass window just staring at me and being like, all right, what did you feel? Want to do another take? I don't care, whatever. Let's take a break, you know. It's very different. I've been very, very fortunate since I moved here to have these very talented people. They're very talented musicians themselves, you know, record us and actually even add parts to these songs just because they wanted to. Like, they didn't have to. You know, they would ask me, can I add this? Can I add that? I'm like, of course, yes, do it. You know, by all means. You know, worst thing that happens is it sucks and I say, no, it doesn't sound good, you know. But 9 times out of 10, it's amazing, and it's nothing I would have ever thought of in a million years, and it definitely enhances the songs.
All right. Well, thank you for being on today.
Sure, of course.
Where can folks find all of your stuff?
You can find it on Bandcamp. It's basically, if you put a search in for Bad Bad Meow, you know, we'll pop up, you know, so you can find us pretty much anywhere, you know, Spotify, whatever works for you. We're on pretty much anything that's digitally music, whatever. So just search for us and we're there. Some mostly free. So, you know, if you like it, you can check it out there, and, you can download it even for free, off the Bandcamp, and I believe SoundCloud as well. So,
to check out past episodes of Notes and Bolts, you can go to notesandbolts.net. Make sure to check out Bad Bad Meow the next time they play out. This has been the Notes and Bolts.